You know, we're fascinated in the West with royalty. Disney's made billions of dollars by thrusting royalty upon each of us as we grew up, whether it's Prince Charming or even the Lion King or whatever. We're just enamored with royalty, and they lived happily ever after, and that's what we think about royalty. And we're caught up in our country because we started as a country to get away from kings and monarchs, but we're just enamored with it. We Charles and Camilla, King Charles, we're wanting to know what's going on with him. William and Kate, we want to know about our health issues and what's going on. And Harry and Meghan, man, they're Americans now, from what I understand. And we're just so caught up in it. And as a country, we have tried to make royalty in the past. If you know much about history, the Rockefellers, Kennedys, and even Bushes, because they've been so influential in us as a country, we want royalty. And it's just amazing to look at that. Pam and I had the chance a few years back, several years back now, to go to Germany, and we were able to see the new Schwanstein Castle. I have a picture of the castle up there, New Schwanstein. Anybody of you been to New Schwanstein? Okay. It's the castle in the Bavarian Alps in Germany. It's the castle that Walt Disney modeled the Cinderella castle after. And we got to see it and walk through it, and it's pretty awesome. And even Disney has its major theme part is what? Magic Kingdom. And we're just caught up in it. The scriptures tell us, as we've studied the Lord's Prayer, as we continue to go in it line by line, see that our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Brett did a fantastic job breaking that down last week. And today we're going to do with thy kingdom come. You can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, if you want to. We're going to be tearing apart this verse as we walk through it. There was a missionary in Laos, in Cambodia, and they asked the locals, how did they decide on the boundaries of Laos as opposed to Vietnam? How could they tell what was Laos and what was Vietnam? And the story was told that back in the days of kings, the kings of Laos and the king of Vietnam, they decided this because there weren't definitive boundaries. And they said this. They said that if the person ate short grain rice, built their houses on stilts, and decorated them with Indian-style serpents, they were considered Laotians. On the other hand, those who ate long grain rice, built their houses on the ground, and decorated them with Chinese-style dragons were considered Vietnamese. So there wasn't a boundary so much as it was that people adapted a certain culture And because they adapted that culture, they were either Vietnamese or Laotians because of the culture they adapted. Now, I think about that story, and I think about you and I. Thy kingdom come. What part of the kingdom are you part of? And it's this. As you live and the culture you adapt shows the kingdom that you're part of. You get that? It's not that you can say, oh, I go to church, I do this, I do that. No, it's by your life that reflects the kingdom that you're a part of. Who is reigning in your life? And so we need to look at this. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, and it simply says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're going to deal with that little phrase, your kingdom come. Your, whose kingdom is it? Well, we've learned that so far. It's our Father's, who is authoritative yet intimate, right? Your kingdom come, hallowed be your name. We dealt with that last week, that you are holy, you're separated. There is no other God like you. You are holy. You are the one. And so when we pray, we're not praying to ourselves. We're praying to this Father God who is out there. And then we say, your kingdom. What is a kingdom? Well, a kingdom is some place or some area where somebody is authoritative over and they have a submissive group of people. But literally, the word for kingdom that we've translated, and I think a lot of our translation goes back, obviously, from the original Greek. But the King James Bible, because there were monarchs and everything, they had a tendency, really, in their verbiage, to really look at the kingdoms and kings and that kind of thing. The literal word is reign. And in other words, what we're praying is, your reign come. In other words, kingdom is not a noun, a place. Your reign, we're asking the Father, you come and reign. You be God of all. And then he says this, you come. And the word come, and I'll deal with that in just a moment. But the word come, it literally means come. I'm not playing a trick on you. It means come. But the word in the Greek is a word of urgency. In other words, we're praying, Father God, may you reign here on earth and do it quickly. Come quickly, okay? So what is the kingdom? As we look at scriptures, the scriptures talk about the kingdom. In fact, 68 times in the New Testament, it talks about the kingdom of God. And the question may be, Mark, is there a difference between kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven? Because the scriptures deal with that. Matthew, who was writing to a Jewish audience, used the term kingdom of heaven. And he used it 32 times in the Gospel of Matthew alone. What I'm saying is this. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God are the same, okay? That when we look at the scripture, we're just approaching different cultures, and that's what we're looking at. So here's the deal. You need to grab this. The kingdom of God is already and not yet, okay? Let me say that again. The kingdom of heaven is already and yet not yet. Now, let me help you understand that. The kingdom of heaven, we're going to look at it three ways. We're going to look at the past, the future, and the present. First of all, the past. The past when it comes to the kingdom of God. It's literally the rule of God, and he's sovereign, and he's universal. Okay? So what I mean by that is he is creator of all. He holds everything together. He is the ultimate authority. And it says in 1 Chronicles 29:10, it says this, "Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, 'Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name.'" Isn't that good passage? That is God overall. And David said it right there. He says, "Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all." Literally, I want you to take a breath. Just take the breath. I want you to know that was a gift from God. If he were not to do that, you would be rolling around on the ground fighting for breath. Literally, you would be. God holds everything together. He is completely aware of all that's going on. It's his kingdom, universal. So that's the past. What about the future? We like the future kingdom of God. We especially, people want to read the book of Revelation or John's Revelation. Why is that? Because it talks about a kingdom that is to come. Jesus will return and set up his kingdom reign. And I don't know what your end time view is, your pre, post, it'll all pan out in the end. I don't know what yours may be, but the scriptures talk about when Christ returns and takes his bride, he takes his church, he takes his followers, he'll set up a reign, and eventually there will be a new heaven and new earth that will be there. But in Jesus' return as the King of all kings, he will establish on earth his kingdom fully. And Paul tells us in this kingdom, he will return for his people. Okay? I want you to grab that, because the past, he's universal overall. It's already, but yet there's a future and not yet that Jesus is going to return. But what about you and me in the present? What about you and me right now? Luke says this, Luke chapter 17, verse 20. It says this, "Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them." Jesus is about to speak. "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold," get this, mark it, "the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." It's here right now. In fact, wherever the king, wherever Jesus is, his kingdom is there. okay? And so we see this kingdom that exists today. And wherever the king is, his kingdom is there. So when you came to Christ, you submitted, you had the great exchange. You exchanged your life of sinfulness for the kingdom. That was a great exchange that took place. And he rules over the hearts and lives of those who have submitted to him. And true believers, this goes back to what I said, true believers ought to display the kingdom that you're a part of. The world should not be confused with Christ followers. I got to be honest. I want to apologize for the view that Christians have given of the kingdom sometimes. It just embarrasses me above all else. And the church is the outpost or the embassy, so to speak, for the kingdom of God. Okay? Used to be when we went to banks, you would have branch offices, right? If you were a Chase Bank, you'd have different branches to go to. That's the way I look at, you know, Central is just a cell in the Bride of Christ. We're just a cell. And but yet we're a branch office that God has established right here on Lake Creek Drive to minister to people and to display his kingdom. Amen? So where Jesus is, the kingdom has come. So the question is this prayer. What is Jesus getting across in this prayer? Thy kingdom come. Your reign come. Well, there's three things right quick. Number one is it's an evangelistic prayer. Evangelistic, that's not a word we use very much. It's a presentation of the good news. It's a prayer that we're praying for God to reign in the hearts and lives of individuals. And the Father comes and brings conviction to the hearts and lives so that those people can come into the kingdom. You're not, I want you to hear me out. You're not a part of the kingdom because you go to church. It's good. I'm glad you're here. And you came in the rain. You get an A today. But I tell you, that doesn't make you part of the kingdom. If you grew up in a Christian home, that doesn't make you part of the kingdom. I wish it did. I wish that I could pray for my children to follow Jesus. And I just can't do it. They play one-on-one with God. You grew up in America. That doesn't make you part of the kingdom. And I've done many funerals in my time. And I cringe when somebody gets up, when we don't know about the life of the person spiritually. Somebody gets up and automatically says, well, they're in a better place, they're not hurting anymore. And I got to get up and gracefully unwind that fishing line because you see, because you're an American, because you're a human, doesn't mean you're part of the kingdom, okay? And so if somebody's told you that and you're trying to earn it from being a good American, conservative, social justice person, that's great, but it's not going to get you in the kingdom. Or if you were baptized or confirmed or go through catechism or it's something like that, that's good stuff, but it doesn't make you a part of the kingdom. So how are you part of the kingdom? Hear me on this one. Number one, there has to be an invitation. Jesus gave a parable about you got to be invited to the banquet. And I know some of you in this room saying, I chose Jesus. No, he chose you. And he invited you to become part of his kingdom. So there needs to be an invitation. Number two is it involves repentance. Repentance means you're going one direction, you do an about face, or you quit going that direction. Jesus came and he preached the kingdom and repentance. Change of direction. I get concerned when people say, oh, I want to go to heaven and not to hell. I want the positives of the Christian faith, but I'm not sure. I don't want these things over here. Listen, I get concerned when somebody responds and there's not a brokenness under the sin in their life. You see, we come to Christ because we're understand that we're separated from God because of our sin. And repentance means changing the direction we're currently going to return to him. You remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he gives good answers. And Jesus said this to him. He said, you're not far from the kingdom. You're not far. The things you're answering are good, but you're not far from it. I get concerned with evangelism in our day because we just want to say, oh, ask Jesus into your heart and that kind of thing. And let me tell you, the scriptures are very clear. Unless we take him as Lord, we don't take him at all. And that needs to be preached. Don't follow Jesus because you think you'll get benefits. Follow Jesus because you're broken and separated from your Creator, and your need is great. So come for that. So we have an invitation. We have repentance. We have a act of the will. You see the applause of heaven right there. I made a good point. And act of the will. You do choose. You repent. You come to that point of saying, Lord, I respond to you. So when we pray evangelistically, we're praying, Lord, reign in the hearts of your people, but reign in the hearts of those that don't know you. Many of you are like us. You have family members that are pre-Christian. We're praying they come to Christ, and we're praying, and just pray, Lord, reign down on them. Reign quickly. Let them know you. And our hearts are to break over family members and friends and classmates that don't know Christ, that we pray come to know him. So it's an evangelistic prayer. Number two, it's a surrender prayer or a submissive prayer. It's a prayer of submission. This part of the prayer reminds us of who's in control. It's not us. When we say, you're Lord, we're saying, you're king, you're manager, you're owner, and it's not me. That's the biggest deterrent to people coming to Christ today. They don't want to submit to anybody. And Jesus is saying, I love you, but if you're not willing to submit, you're not part of my kingdom. It's a prayer of submission. I am yielding myself up to the King. It reminds me that prayer is not a wish list, Santa Claus wish list. It's a coming before God and saying, God, reign in the hearts of those that don't know you yet. Open the eyes of their heart. The Lord, reign in my life as I submit to you. It's prayer is conforming to the image of God and the will of God. It reminds me to come low. There's a story of a man that wanted to climb Everest, and he had a guide, and they got close to the top, and the guide said, do you want to be the first on the peak? And he said, oh yeah, I'd love to be the first on the peak. And he jumped up to go on the peak, and the guide grabbed him and pulled him down, and he said, if you jump up on the peak, the winds are going to blow you off. You got to go to the peak on your knees. And I thought, oh God, we need to come to the mountain of God on our knees. We need to submit to you. And that's hard in our day. It concerns me about evangelism that we are not more in preaching that God is Lord of all. So it's an evangelistic prayer. It's a prayer of submission. It's a prayer of urgency. Urgency. Remember, I told you, your kingdom come, your reign come. The word come is a prayer of urgency. God, reign now. Reign. Your kingdom has come. We seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Lord, reign quickly for our sons and daughters that don't know you, our classmates that don't know you, our neighbors that don't know you. But reign urgently, quick in my life as well. And that's what it means to be a prayer of urgency. I want to give you a quick activity to maybe implement in your life. You got to take everything and you got to figure out if it's for you. But Pam and I have something we've done for years, because prayer so often is around the world. And, you know, we pray and we forget what we pray for because there's so much to pray about. But we have learned, and we've learned to pray for different things every evening. Let me walk you through what we do. On Sunday, first day of the week, in the evening, we pray for our family. We pray by name for all of our family. We pray for whatever they're going through. We have an urgency, God, reign in our family. Number two, on a Monday, we pray for ministries, family ministries, student ministry, local ministries, men's ministry, ladies ministry, worship ministry. We pray for the ministries. God, reign, and we urgently pray for him to reign in those areas. Tuesday, we pray for our neighbors by name. We pray for whatever they're going through, but many of them don't know the Lord. We pray evangelist, Lord, reign in their heart. Wednesday, we pray for world missions. We pray by name. We've done this enough to where we know missionaries all over the world. Many of them have sat right where you're sitting, And we pray by name. God, reign in their heart, reign in their country. Thursday, we pray prayers of thanksgiving. We just grateful to the Lord, thanksgiving. Friday, we pray for friends, those who are close to us, and that can get exhaustive, but we pray God reign in the lives of our friends and mention them by name. And then Saturday, we pray specifically for this time. God reign. And I tell you what, I have big prayers for Sunday mornings. I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty honest with you. I pray that anybody that comes and is doubting their faith, they get radically transformed. I mean, radically. I pray for our young people. I pray for our groups. I pray for our worship team. I pray for the Spirit of God to fall, and I pray for our altar call. And a service is not measured by the altar call. But I pray that people would come for prayer. People would come and kneel at this altar, and people will just cry out to God in this urgency. Well, that's Saturday. And you need to figure out how you need to pray. But we're praying, God, your kingdom, you reign with authority, and you reign quickly, quickly. Come quickly, urgently. All right, I got to wrap this up. Say, I just went off there a minute. You know, the Olympics are coming up again, and there's nothing more exciting than to represent your country in the Olympics. And if you win your event, what they do is they have the time at the podium. And the winner, let's say that USA track and field, they win something. They're on the top of that podium, and then a song starts. Now, the guy that won the gold medal cannot say, oh, I want Taylor Swift or I want Beyonce at this song at this point. No, they're bound to play the national anthem. Because even though that person was an individual in what they did, they represented a kingdom that was bigger than them. And when that song is played, the national anthem, that represents the whole of the kingdom, and they are just part of that kingdom. Now, I think it goes without saying, you who are a part of the kingdom, you're an individual. God uses you as an individual, but he plays the song about his kingdom, and you are just a part of that kingdom, but you play a major part in that kingdom. God wants to use you. I thought about one other thing. Thy kingdom come. You know, if we're praying, God, reign in the hearts and lives of our family, reign in the hearts of lives of those who yet to know you, we can be an answer to Jesus' prayer. We can be the one to give the invite. We can be the one to reach out and say, hey, Christ loves you. He has a plan for you. So what today? I want you to know him. I don't want to put out cheap grace. I want to put out the fact that Jesus came because we were lost and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. all of us in this room, including me. I'm at the front of the line. I'm the chief. And so we've all fallen. And I don't want to, you know, when your kids are in trouble, sometimes we want to pull them out of the fire too fast instead of them learning the lesson. I don't know. I hope it wasn't poor parenting, but you need to wrestle through your sin, and you need to repent and realize that Jesus came not just so that you could go to heaven, but so you could be reconciled to the Father. So my prayer today is that you know Him. You know Him.